the third base position before spring training. Prior to the talks with Machado, Mike Moustakas and Manuel Gonzalez were known to lead the chart there for San Diego. What do we got here, Tom? Is this more agent fodder, or is there some push behind San Diego?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't often get fooled, Tim, with agent fodder and whatnot. But I think that there's some – look, if I was not at the baseball winter meetings, I would tell you this is floated by an agent. This is floated out there by an agent who, you know, is trying to raise his price. You know, we have the mystery team, now you have the Padres and all this. But I will say this. When I went to the baseball winter meetings, and I tweeted this out at Sports Garden over on Twitter, G-A-R-T-E-N, I tweeted this out during the winter meeting. I said, the Padres are in talks to do something significant, something really big. Nothing came of it, Tim. I really, really, really had a hard time on Twitter with many, many San Diego fans. You know, ask me, oh, where'd you get that from? It's San Diego. They'll never do anything big. And I didn't really need to explain it because it was, you know, it was basically rumors. But I was with big-time people in the San Diego organization that were convincing me that they were going to do something huge. And they asked me to keep their name out of it, so I won't throw their name in it. But they were telling me they were going to do something very, very big. Now, at the time, the thought was Syndergaard, right? I mean, they were in talks of Syndergaard. And that was kind of the idea. I knew about Realmuto. I reported that Realmuto was one of their needs. But one of the organization's, affiliated, he's affiliated with the organization. He said, we have the best farm system in the league, okay? And we know that we can make deals. We also have money to spend under the cap. We get one or two guys, make one or two trades. The San Diego Padres look at the division. Arizona decided to rebuild. San Francisco's on the way down. Most people believe Arenado is leaving Colorado, and this is their window. This is their shot in the next 2 or 3 years is the San Diego shot. So this is where he was reported directly to me. So when I see Manny Machado come out, I know this. I can fully say maybe they won't get him, Tim, and maybe it is a lot of agent talk here, but I can tell you straight up from first-hand knowledge, San Diego feels like they are going to make a move. San Diego is telling other people that they're going to make a move. They have the ability to make a move. This wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me because I think that right now, Manny Machado is in a position where he's going, what the hell happened to my market, right? What happened to my market? I don't think that Manny Machado is right now thinking to himself, well, I'm going to hold out for the best place. I think he feels insulted, and he's going to go take the biggest price. And if San Diego can meet that, then think about what San Diego does. Remember, they went out and they spent a ton not that long ago, okay? And they got out of all those contracts. Mm-hmm. They got out of them all because that was the way that the contracts were structured. They were structured in such a way where, all right, we're going to take our shot and then get out. It wouldn't shock me to watch the San Diego Padres have some weird, crazy kind of contract with Manny Machado that pays him, you know, $30 million this year, $35 million next year, but a player option out after 2 years. You know, it wouldn't shock me to see San Diego take a shot like that just to be involved.
And like you said a couple weeks ago, we know that the Yankees and the Dodgers are a phone call away. They're going to get the agency. The agent knows, right, Tom? They'll give that last chance to those teams to bring them in. There's going to be a number set somewhere here soon. And whether the Yanks or the Dodgers will have the final say in it, it's not going to come down to those teams not being involved. But for all intents and purposes right now, it's Philadelphia. And then I guess you got Chicago sitting there, the White Sox. And I think the Padres saw the fact that it's not going to cost them $30 million a year, at least right now, to get them. That's the belief, at least. And I think that they feel that with the way the market's limited, they have an opportunity here to make him feel like he's wanted. And really, if you can bring Manny Machado in at 26, say they give him that multi, you know, 7-8 years, you got Tatis ready to go this year, Margot last year, you know, really, really young, exciting team possibly here for San Diego. And like you said, with the way the farm system's built up as the number one farm system in baseball, they're only a couple trades away from adding more power to that team, some veteran guys in there, and bang, all of a sudden it's good times there in sunny San Diego.
Yeah, and let's not the fact that they're not really making a hard push for Real Muto. So let's see. They have the best farm system in baseball, okay? They have some good talent on that team as it is now. I mean, Will Myers is a former number one prospect. They have some good talent. Eric Hosmer, they went out and got him. You turn around and you get yourself Real Muto and Machado, and then you go, well, don't worry, we're still going to make some moves. Real Muto, Machado, and let's just even say Dallas Keuchel. All of a sudden, where do you have San Diego? You know, San Diego right now, as constituted, is probably the worst team in that division. But it won't take much to put them over San Francisco. Doesn't take much to put them over Arizona. You get Machado, you get Real Muto. I think that they're right on par with Colorado. All of a sudden, you're going, huh, they made themselves a wild-card team. They just made themselves a wild-card team. And they have good things that are long-term. So Machado might look at San Diego and go, well, look, geez. Now, first of all, they're going to give me the money that I want. Second of all, look at what city I'm going to, right? I mean, you're not looking at San Diego and going, you know, I'm going to Minnesota here. You're going to one of the best cities in America. And they're going to be good for a long time. They're going to be really good for a long time. If they do things right with that farm system, as Manny Machado, you got to sit back and go, this could be a winner.
And we all see that Machado has an ego, right, Tom? We've seen that, and it came out especially there in the second half of the year last year when he's with the Dodgers. But it shouldn't be too hard to sell San Diego to somebody other than they were terrible, right? And obviously with a team that's in a rebuilding situation, you don't want to bring all these kids up and have the pressure of being the what is it, the quote-unquote face of the franchise. That can be Manny Machado, right? He can be the superstar, the guy in it, the big guy there in San Diego, the guy they're going to market, bring the younger the guys with less pressure behind him, like Tatis is, who I assume we'll see very, very soon. You don't have to sell where he's living. We know that. All they got to do is pay him, right, Tom? This is where it bothers me the most. If you want the guy and you see where the market's sitting at right now, why not just go offer it and be done with it, Tom? If San Diego is truly high on bringing him in, let's just get it done then. If they overpay, then they overpay.
Why, though, Tim? I'm going to stop you there. I've heard this, and I disagree with it. I disagree with the idea of just go get him. Here's why. The general manager and most front office people are staking their careers on Manny Machado. If you swing and miss with Manny, your career is done. As a general manager, you're fired. As general manager's assistants and people that are in that group and helping him out, you're done. So this isn't, you know, in fantasy sports, right, which is always so easy to talk about. You're the general manager. You're the owner. You're the one putting the team together. This isn't the owner. It's different in Steinbrenner's age where he goes, yeah, go get me this guy. And then the guy fails, and what's going to happen? No one's getting rid of Steinbrenner. He owns the team. As a general manager, are you staking your career on Manny Machado? Because that's, in a lot part, what this is about. Somebody has to go out there, and you're sitting down, and you're going, okay, look, we could go, you know, we could keep this young core and we could move with the young core and let's stick it together and go through the long haul, and you're going to get praised for putting together a good minor league system, and then, you know, the guys are going to come up, you're going to make some trades. You know, you have an out clause there. You know what, I didn't agree with trading Fernando Tatis for a starter. You know, he's the guy I like. You have options. If you go to that office and you go, okay, Manny's the guy that's going to change our futures around. Manny's the guy that's going to change this team around. Tim, you're putting your job on the line. And you're putting your job on the line for, let's call it what it is. You're putting the job on the line for a guy that told the world he doesn't believe in hustling. You put your job on the line for a guy that plays the game dirty, kicking first baseman's legs and stuff. You're putting your job on the line for somebody who has said he wants to play on the East Coast. You're putting your job on the line for somebody who's had two knee surgeries before 26 years old. So you're putting your job on the line for a lot. It's the same thing with Harper. You're putting your job on the line for Harper, a guy who fell flat on his face last year and batted 220 until like middle of August. You're putting your job on the line for a guy that got into a fist fight in the dugout with a teammate during a game, who felt the need to go into the media and you know, attack the media. You're putting your job on the line on these players. You know, and this is why I told you, I spoke to a couple general managers, and they said if this was Mike Trout, people would be falling all over him because of character issues. Character issues in fantasy don't mean a thing. Right? Go take whoever you want. But when it's real life, this is your job. This is your livelihood. This is your everything. If you screw up, if Manny screws up, and you stake your entire career to Manny Machado, your kids might not eat the next day. You know, I mean, that's reality. And that's why it's hard. You're talking about the guys. I know from an organizational standpoint, it's a no-brainer for me and you. From an organizational standpoint, just go do it. Give them the money. What are you wasting time? What are you doing? But people are gun-shy. People are gun-shy because of his personality. And people are gun-shy that it's an all-or-nothing thing. You sign a guy to 3 years, you know, like an A.J. Pollock deal, that's not going to ruin it. If he falls flat on his face, that doesn't mean you're getting fired. That doesn't ruin your reputation. Signing A.J. Pollock for $55 million for 3 years. Hey, you're not ruining your reputation there. You go trade for Realmuto, and he doesn't put up great numbers. You're not getting fired for that. You will get fired if you sign Manny Machado to a 10-year contract or an 8-year contract for $200 million, and he doesn't perform. That is your job. You're literally gambling with your job.
Yes. And I'll tell you why I signed Manny Machado if I'm the GM in San Diego. I go into the owner's office and I say, look, if this costs me my job, then it costs me my job. I want Manny for these reasons, Tommy. This franchise has been terrible, better part of the last 20 years. In the last 12 years, last 12 years, one season over 500. And that was 9 years ago. We went the route of bringing in the free agents, right? We went that route, even though those guys weren't a part of it, but he's building the case. Went out and got Kemp. We went out and got James Shields. How did that do for us? It didn't work. Manny's young. Manny's going to hit. We know that's going to happen, and we can market him. He's marketable. Yeah, I get it. He made some stupid mistakes and said some stupid things, but San Diego's a different place. We can market him. Let these kids come up with him, and the pitching is on the farm. It's coming, and we're going to make some moves as well to counteract this signing, and we're going to spend some money because that's something that we don't do here. If you're giving me the opportunity to do it, I'm going to go sign him right now, Tom. Why? Because this franchise is never really in that situation to be able to go after guys like this. It's always the Yankees. It's always the Red Sox. It's always the Dodgers, the Cubs, right, the Cardinals. This is a chance San Diego could – I understand your point completely, too. If it doesn't work, yeah, heads are going to roll. Sometimes you have to be that guy to make that decision, though. And I think for the Padres and the fan base, they want something to believe in. Right now, they're hoping that these prospects work out, and you and I both know how that works, too. Sometimes it doesn't. I think for as much of an a-hole that Manny Machado's become, statistically, he hits the baseball. And that's what they need there. They need somebody like that. That they can tie it around and market and make the Padres relevant again in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's just my approach on it. You know, I loved him in Baltimore. I really soured on him last year when I saw how he was with the Dodgers. And I don't know what that was. Too much pressure, maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe that's just him. But I tell you what, if I'm Padres ownership, and I look at barely clearing $2 million in attendance every year, I got to start looking at something else and investing somewhere else and getting it closer to the $3 million mark that they were able to do there in the early 2000s or late 2000s. You know, you're talking about money now as well in getting people back in the stands. And can Manny do it? I mean, in my opinion, it's worth the gamble. If I'm the GM, it's worth the gamble of my job, Tom.
You're a Manny guy, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a Manny guy. You know, I mean, I could sit here and have the argument with you, and I'm not getting against. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just telling you, I could put a compelling argument together that you don't have to do that. I'm the GM, Tim. I have built the best farm system in baseball. I have built, our next shortstop in Fernando Tatis. I have built our next second baseman, Luis. I have a leader in a guy like Hosmer. Forget about Manny. Don't spend the money on Manny. Go out. Let's go get Moustakas, right? Let's save all the money and go get Moustakas. Build around him. Let's get Moustakas and let's trade for Realmuto. And I think Moustakas and Realmuto, with the young core that we have, will give me flexibility to do something in the future. And I don't need to go and make the headlines of bashing the bank. And my model is Kansas City Royals. Look, I could build a team like this. I could build a team from the ground up. Let's look at the Houston Astros. I could build a team like that. I don't need that big free agent, that big splash guy. Yeah, I'm giving you the other side of it, Tim, only because I tend to agree with your side, but there is the other side. You're getting, if you're the general manager, you're getting off of your track of what you wanted to do. You know, and this is the argument where everyone's going, why don't the Yankees go out there, go get Harper, and go get... The Yankees have had a plan. They had a plan for years to build through, through the minor leagues, build the young guys. Now, they did have this opportunity. They were going to go get Harper. Harper was their guy. Maybe Machado was their guy. One of these guys, they cleared space. They did everything. And what happened last year? They get handed Giancarlo. They just got handed Giancarlo, and he now becomes that guy. If Giancarlo wasn't here, there's no doubt Harper and maybe Harper and Machado would both be here. But they got Stanton, and nobody thought Judge was going to be who he was. So it's hard to kind of have a complete plan and throw it away, in a mix for a guy that has, let's just call it what it is, personality problems.
Yeah. It's a very intriguing situation to be in. I think I just want to lean more on that. In my opinion, I like the farm system. You mentioned it. You have a veteran in Hosmer. You can have a veteran in Machado, who offensively is... I take him over Moustakas, obviously you do too, and then you have the young kids up there, right up the middle. You build it, and if it's not Realmuto, Mejia's coming up through the pipe anyways. It's all comes, it comes down to the pitching, but at least I think offensively they're going to be able to stay in baseball games. And like I said, the most important thing would be the marketing aspect of Manny Machado as a Padre, because he becomes the biggest star there that they've had in what, Tom, the last 20 years.
I like the star power idea, but again, I'm giving you the other side of this, Tim. We already have star power because Fernando Tatis is going to become that star power.
I agree.
Right?
I think he is as well.
Chris Paddock is going to become that star power. Luis Urias, he's going to become that star power. I've already given you the star power. They're just not there yet. That's I'm just giving you the other side of this argument, Tim, because I agree with you. If you're the Padres, go out, you sign Machado. But I get the hesitancy of why they're not, because they're such a good farm system. They're a unique team that I think is building it completely the right way, and they're not set up for some short-term success. In that division, with what the other teams are doing, they are in for a long run. I mean, I'm looking at the Astros. I see the Astros again. I see the success that the Astros had, and I'm going, wow, they're mimicking it. They're doing the same thing.
So with that being said, he signs with the Phillies this week. Is that what you're saying?
I keep saying it day after day. I just don't believe that the Phillies could come out, say the things that they said in the offseason, and look at their fans and look at their clubhouse and look at their team and not walk away with Machado or Harper. I don't think you could do that. I don't think you come out and you say, we are going to spend hashtag stupid money. You take out a billboard in Las Vegas. Your fan base takes out a billboard saying, spend stupid money. They're trying to spend. And to look at your fan base and go, guys, we tried and no one wanted to come here. I don't think they could not walk away with one of these two guys. I think it's, and I'll tell you what, if Machado does sign with San Diego, then Harper gets close to $300 million because Philly's going to come in over the top. And if Harper goes to, you know, wherever, the Dodgers or the Yankees, whatever, then Machado's going to get that money. And that's kind of why I think we're in that position. They know Philly's desperate, and Philly's going, you know, we've overextended our mouths, you know, and we put ourselves in a position where we've got to get one of the two. We cannot come out of this season, out of this offseason, and not have one of these two.
So when we're next Sunday, when we're doing the Super Bowl recap show, are we still going to be talking about where these guys are going to be playing, Tom?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I do. I don't think, especially now that the Padres are involved, and we're hearing another team, which I don't necessarily buy into. I think we are. Yeah, I said it jokingly during the baseball winter meetings when it was coming to a conclusion. I said, watch these guys wait until Super Bowl Sunday to announce something. And wouldn't that be the best thing? If you're a publicist, what do you tell them? You know, listen, guys, you know, forget about Super Bowl Sunday. Announce Friday night before Super Bowl. There's no sports are really capturing the forefront. You'll be the talk, you know, all day Friday, all day Saturday. During the Super Bowl, they'll probably mention your name. You know, you think about from a publicist standpoint, I just don't see it happening, Tim. I really don't. Now, do I think it's going to get into Valentine's Day? Do I think it's going to get into March? Geez, I'm not sure now. I don't put it this way. I think we're going to be sitting there on March 1st, and one of the two won't be signed.
Jeez.
Disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah, JD signed, I think it was mid-February last year.
And that was considered massively late.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Here's why. You have to think about the time frame. I don't think the next day someone's going to sign. Because, first of all, from a publicity standpoint, you want it to blow over. Second of all of a sudden, all these teams that are playing, you know, cat and mouse with, well, we're going to try to get one of the two, the White Sox and the Phillies and whatnot. All of a sudden, they're all going to come clamoring for the secondary guy. So they have to take meetings. They have to fly across country. I think there's going to be a good 10 days in between. So let's just say Machado signs, Valentine's Day. 10 days, 12 days, maybe not by March 1st. I'm going to stick to my guns. By March 1st, someone's not signed. I do think someone signs before Valentine's Day, though. So in the next, a little bit more than 2 weeks, somebody will sign. But it's going to take another 10 days to 2 weeks till the secondary guy signs.
And with Scott Boras involved, Harper will be the last to sign. We both think that.
He's got to be. I mean, he just has to be. It would be shocking if he's not. If he is not the second to sign, it's because he's getting very close to that top level. It's because somebody like Philly comes in and goes, listen, we're done. We're done with this garbage. Here's our final offer, $300 million, 10 years. You know, this is it.
Yeah.
That's the only way that I see him signing first.
We get your thoughts on a guy that I know you like to watch on the college side of it. And, of course, there's some local implications here. Well, Kyler Murray, drafted by the A's, farm team of the Aviators here in Las Vegas, PCL team. Now, the mock drafts are coming out, Tom, for the NFL side of it. I've seen him go as high as 13 to the Dolphins. I've seen him out of the first round. He also has Scott Boras as an agent here. And you know how Scott is. What's your take on this, the growing steam that Kyler Murray plays NFL football rather than Major League Baseball?
Wow, you know, I didn't believe this at all. And I spoke to Tony Pauline from, is it just a tremendous draft analyst. He wasn't too high on Kyler Murray. I've spoken to two other draft analysts. Tim, it's all over the road. I'm hearing, you know, one of the guys told me flat out, Kyler Murray can make every single throw in the playbook, and he's one of only five or six quarterbacks that can do that in the last couple of years. That's how talented he is. I've also heard another guy say, there's 0% chance any NFL team is drafting a guy that's 5'9".
Yeah.
They're not doing it. He's too small. He's just too small. And we talked about the rollouts. the opportunity to roll out of the pocket and get in space. So it doesn't matter. He's 5'9". He's 5'9". It doesn't matter. Maybe they'll spend a fourth-round draft pick on him, but he's 5'9". You know, and I see the validity to both sides of it. I still believe that a lot is going to depend what he plays on where he's drafted. I'm hearing there is a lot, and Raider fans, I know we didn't do the Raider report today. First of all, John Gruden slapping Raiders symbols on people's hats at the Senior Bowl was awesome. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that, Tim?
Yeah.
Yes, he had, for those that didn't, he had just stickers of the Raiders symbol. When somebody made a good play, he walked up to them and slapped the Raiders sticker on his helmet. I thought it was creative and it was funny. It was wrinkled. It was all over the helmet. I mean, it was interesting. But there are rumors, Tim, that the Oakland Raiders, not only are they going to draft him, they want to draft him number one overall. There are rumors that Gruden's trying to position himself to draft Murray number one overall. I don't buy that. Look, Gruden could be a crazy guy, but I just don't buy that. And you talk about, you know, players of his comparison. I've heard comparisons to Deshaun Watson. I've heard comparisons to Russell Wilson. Tim, I watched both of them. I watched Russell Wilson live, okay? I was at his games when he was at NC State, even before Wisconsin. He was something special out there. I'm not saying that Murray's not special. Different player. And you know, he's just not that. I think he plays baseball. You know, unless he believes, here's the only thing. You got to think, again, I do a lot of thinking, you know, between the lines here. He put a picture of himself looking like Bo Jackson, okay? You know, he's got the baseball bat and he had the shoulder pads. He put that out. He took that picture on his own, put that out on Twitter, and floated that out on his own. No one has mentioned the fact that maybe he wants to play both. Maybe he wants to try both. And if he's drafted in the first round, he's thinking to himself, well, there's always, I could always go back to baseball. I could always go back to baseball. So it wouldn't surprise me to watch him give this a shot. I just don't think. I still can't believe, even with all the Gruden rumors, I can't believe someone's going to move up in the draft or draft him, you know, in the top 10. I don't think he's a first-round guy. And then now if you start to get into that second, third-round guy, he's not going to be a starter. He's going to be the backup to somebody decent. All of a sudden you go, maybe this football thing isn't as alluring. Unless you get someone creative. Couldn't you see the New England Patriots taking a shot at this guy in like the third round?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be the most New England thing?
I think, look, if the Dolphins are dumb enough to draft him 13, he gets that guaranteed money, and he takes it, then so be it. You know, millionaire, that's all that matters. But at 5'9", Tom, that is a huge issue in my book as well. And I know people want to throw Russell Wilson and Drew Brees in my face. It's a completely different situation, and these are my thoughts on why. Russell Wilson at 5'11".
5'11 and 5'9 is a big difference. Though.
Right. That 2 inches is big. Plus, Russell Wilson went to college for 4 years, and he also could play baseball. You know, he's talented as well. But I think there's always exceptions to the rule. And Drew Brees also was a four-year.
Drew Brees is 6 foot. There's a difference between 5'9 and 6 feet. Right. There's a massive difference.
Guy on the line stands up, Tom, right? A defensive lineman who's 6'4 stands up and reaches his hand up. What's he now? 6'7, 6'8? And you're 5'9, right. You got to throw over that? I don't know. I don't know, man.
And they're saying here's the thing. They're saying Kyler Murray is listed at 5'11. And I've heard 5'9".
Yeah.
You know, so I think a lot would have to do with the combines, and let's see what his real height is.
And look, I respect your knowledge in baseball. You follow prospects like nobody else. Where do you have Kyler Murray ranked as far as if you had to do a future top 100, where does Kyler Murray rank?
You know, I actually just did this. I just did a first-year draft, fantasy draft. Kyler Murray was taken just outside the top 75.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Again, in baseball, it's difficult because you're not basically on a talent level. A lot of times you're basically on who's closest to the majors. But For the first year talent major league draft, he's a top 15 guy for the first year guys. He's a player that projects really well because he, you know, he's very fast. He can play center field. And you look at a guy like Whit Merrifield, right, who just signed a contract extension today. He didn't really even make it to the majors until he was 28 years old, and now his family's set for life, $20 million contract. But he had to go through the grueling time. Do you think Murray wanted to go through 5-6 years of minor leagues, making, you know, $45,000 a year? Do you think that he wants to go through that? Think you could live on $40,000 a year, $45,000 a year? You think he wants to do that, or does he want to walk in with the guaranteed money? Which again goes back to the original point, the point that you made as well. Where he's drafted means everything. If he's drafted first round, he's going to play football, guys. He's going to play football. But if he's drafted in the second or the third round, you better be able to convince this kid. You know, I think a perfect landing spot for him would be New Orleans. Learn from a smaller guy. We watched Drew Brees, his throwing technique is quite different. We've watched what Drew Brees can be. Learn from Peyton, get your guaranteed money. I mean, New Orleans makes a lot of sense to me. But if he's going to a team like Miami, and they expect him to come in there at 5'9", 5'10", whatever the height is, with a bad team, Tim, I don't know. I don't see a good future for the guy if he gets drafted in that situation.
We'll find out here over the next couple months the status of Kyler Murray. Right now, looking at the A's top prospect list, he's ranked in at number 5, having not played a game of minor league baseball yet. When we come back, we'll talk about the newest additions to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Tom's thoughts on the class. I believe we correctly predicted those. And ahead, a look ahead to next year. There's some names on the list that Tom was just going to throw out. Could be another good year next year, Tommy, as well. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's Heat Wave Sports, Fox Sports. Rick.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports. Here's Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
All right. Going to finish the show off tonight. Talking Hall of Fame baseball. Make sure you check us out this Saturday night over at the Beer Park at the Paris Hotel and Casino for our big Super Bowl preview show. Many, many members, cast members, and fans of Heat Wave Sports will be in attendance giving their predictions of the big game. There we go again, the big game. Pats, Rams. We're just going to have a good old fun time. It's our big show. We do it every year, and we're looking forward. And thank the Beer Park for hosting us again this year, Tom. It's probably been the best show as I've been over at the Beer Park.
And not for nothing, just to throw it out there, we were the first ones there.
Yeah.
You know, it was pretty funny. We were the first ones at the Beer Park. We scouted the location, to people there. We broadcast the, and then all of a sudden it seemed like everybody was there, right? I'm watching television and people from ESPN, oh, we're here at the Beer Park in Las Vegas. I wonder where you guys got that idea from. So we were the first to do it. We spoke to the Beer Park people. They said, it's a great idea to have radio hosts here. The absolute first to do it, and you go going back to being the first. You go back to your first true love, right? So they want us back. We're back, and it should be a great time.
Saturday, 10 o'clock, live from the Beer Park. We'll go on air, be there a little early, so if you want to come by and hang out, I'll probably get there about 9 o'clock as they're setting up. And hopefully it'll be in that same back corner that right there overlooking the Las Vegas Strip. So it'd be good times. Beer Park, this Saturday, 10 o'clock, Heat Wave Sports, live on location. Tom, when we went off the air last week, the last thing we talked about was the Hall of Fame announcement, which was happened this past Tuesday. We got them correct. We got all the guys in. Mariano goes in 100%, Tom. I know you were happy about that. Edgar, Roy Halladay, and my personal favorite, Mike Mussina, sneaks in by 7 votes. He gets into the Hall of Fame. That's your class for this year. I think they did a good job this time.
Yeah, I didn't think Mussina deserved to get in, but I'm okay with it, right? I mean, I'm not up in arms I just didn't think Mussina should get in. I put it in my ballot. My ballot had one person on, Mariano Rivera. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So do I like that Edgar's in? Yeah, I'm okay with Edgar being in. I look at it as, what does the Hall of Fame become? Is Edgar Martinez a Hall of Famer compared to who's in this? Yeah, absolutely he is. I used to fear, as a Yankee fan, I used to fear Edgar coming up to that point all the time. So I'm okay with him getting in. Roy Halladay, absolutely. I mean, Roy Halladay, he fits all the boxes for me. For a short period of time, he was the best player, best pitcher in the league. Mussina just never was. You know, I don't have a problem with it, but I didn't have Mussina going in for a reason, and no, he didn't. As far as the Rivera thing, you know, let me just give my thoughts here for the 100%. People go, 100% doesn't mean anything. No, I get it. Well, you know what? Babe Ruth didn't get it. This one didn't get it. You can't go on what happened in the past. Mariano Rivera deserved to be on 100% of the ballots. And one of the stupider arguments that I've ever heard was in New York radio here by somebody who's basically Willie Mays falling down in the outfield at this point in his career, making the argument of, well, you know, if you drafted an all-time team, you're taking Mariano Rivera number one. That is a stupid, silly argument. Mariano Rivera was better at his craft than anyone in history. It is not the same thing. You're not saying he's better than Ted Williams. You're saying that he's getting 100% of the votes because he excelled at his position. If there was a for example, Adam Vinatieri, you brought him up earlier. Adam Vinatieri should get 100% of Hall of Fame votes. Does that mean he's better than, Joe Montana? No, it doesn't. Just means that at his craft, he's the best that ever did it. He should get 100% of the votes. So that's where I stand on Mariano Rivera. You know, I gave a food reference on my show, and I said, you know, if you have the best burger, you know, best burger in town, without question, this is, oh my God, it's the best burger I ever tried. Everyone agrees it's the best burger. There's no competition. It's the greatest burger, greatest burger, greatest burger. You're not going to have somebody say, well, you know what? Not as good as Gordon Ramsay's steak. No, you're right. It's a different animal. It's a different burger, right? So, you know, let's try to compare apples to apples and not apples to oranges.
What happened to the writer that said he wasn't going to vote for him? Publicity?
He just didn't submit a ballot, man. He got strong on me. He got pressured into doing it. You know, I tried to get him on the phone, actually, because I was going to destroy him. And I think I'm not the only one that would try to do that. You know, to me, I almost wish Mariano didn't get the 100% just so I could have that guy stick to his guns. I just want to hear his reasoning. And he's been on radio shows. He hung up on radio. The reasoning is what I wanted to hear. If you don't believe something, and you're a sports writer, you're a sports columnist, we're going to have different, opinions on things. Have some conviction, though, man. Have some backbone, right? Explain why you believe Mariano Rivera doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. Come up with a reason. Even if it's a terrible reasoning, you owe it to your fans. You owe it to your readers to give me a reason. There are, look, I am a quote-unquote Aaron Rodgers hater, right? But I think more than anybody else, I come up with reasons behind that. I think I come up with statistics behind it, the numbers behind it. I'm not going to just say, no, yeah, Aaron Rodgers stinks and that's it. No, I will come up with reasoning behind it. And in this case, what he did, what that guy from San Diego did, was he became a fanboy. And it's easy for fanboys, we know many of them, to say ridiculous sports statements and then not back it up with any evidence. Just, well, he sucks. Why? Because he sucks. I mean, that's kind of the argument that you think that you got into there.
I'm sure there's some death threats probably phoned his way.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me.
So the Rivera resume speaks for itself. Edgar Martinez, entire career with Seattle. Much respect for that, Tom, because as we saw Seattle fall apart, Randy Johnson gone, Alex Rodriguez left, Griffey eventually left as well. Two batting titles. He hit career 312 batter, 300 homers in almost 20 seasons. In fact, he's one of the few players who retire, I guess it was, began their careers after World War II and retired with a 300-plus batting average. Halliday, you said it, at one point, the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. He did it all. Cy Young, two of them. He's thrown...
No-hitter in the playoffs.
No-hitter in the playoffs. Perfect game, which is a tough thing to do. And really, when you talk about innings eater, well, this guy finished games, Tom. 61 complete games in his career. And then Moose, look, I don't disagree with you. I think that for me, to put Moose in, he would have had to get to 300, which he didn't. He got to 270. His ERA was upper threes, right? Close to 3.7. He had 2,800 strikeouts. That's nice. Five-time All-Star, Gold Glove winner, never won a Cy Young. I think in this case, it was more about maybe Mike Mussina, the humanitarian, Tommy, and that they're putting, you know, a quote-unquote good guy in, and I think they gave one here to players like that. Because as good as Moose was at times, like you said, nothing really jumps off that page that says, hey, he's an absolute all-star. But from everything I heard, I know you've heard the same thing when he played there with the Yanks. He was a team guy, and everybody loved him. So I think they kind of gave this one to those type of players.
Yeah, he's the Hall of Very Good, you know.
Yeah.
And he got, I think they wind up saying that he got one or two votes above the threshold. And this is my big problem with the Hall of Fame, and I spoke to Jane Levy about this, who works for the Hall of Fame. And one of my big problems with the Hall of Fame is that everyone's grouped into the same situation. There's not like a wing for people that go in first ballot. There's not, you know, on the plaque, a star system, you know, well, a one-star guy or two. There isn't. Everyone's in the same Hall of Fame. So Mike Mussina, who to me was a very good pitcher, he was never the best pitcher in the league, never even in the conversation of best pitcher in the league. I'm a Yankee fan, and I don't think he was ever the best pitcher on my staff, okay? He is in the same Hall of Fame and in the same Hall of Fame class as Mariano Rivera, the greatest that's ever lived. That, to me, is just that's why I get upset with the Hall of Fame. That's why I get annoyed with the Hall of Fame, because how can you sit here and tell me that it's deserving the same accreditation?
Right. Then if that's the case, he should have, like you said, went in on his own.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
none of those absolutely. Guys wouldn't match up to him. And actually, hold that thought, because we're going to get to 2020 in a second. But
I thought you would.
I'll tell you a quick Moose story, and maybe you know a little more being there in the neighborhood, because I'm trying to go back years now. In his last year, he had a 20-win season, and that was his first one ever. He retired right after that, and his thought was that he couldn't go out on a better note other than winning a World Series, right? In that he didn't want to have to come back and scrape by for 30 more wins to get to the 300. He just said, this is the best for me, and I'm going out like that. I don't know if you remember back in that season if that was true or not. That's just a story I had heard.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Absolutely, it's very true. The Yankees even offered him a contract, if you remember, and he declined it. So, yeah, no, that's very true. He wanted to walk away. Getting to the 300 wouldn't have changed my opinion about him either, by the way. Just me personally, I want you to be the best. I want this to be, and I've said it all time and time again, people go, well, what's your idea of the Hall of Fame? What's the numbers? My idea is this. If you have to think if a guy should be in, he shouldn't be in. While his career is going on, I want to watch a game and go, that's a Hall of Famer. Not wait until after he retires, think about it for 5 years, later on think about it for 10, and then eventually he could put it in. No. I want to, that minute that I'm watching that at bat, I'm going to go, guy's a Hall of Famer.
Class of 2020 will be headlined by the captain, Derek Jeter, Tom. Another 100% no-brainer. Here's the thing. Will he have, and I'm not talking about the Veterans Committee guys, I'm talking about the guys that get voted on the ballot. Will he have brothers in arms coming in with him next year?
I think so. I don't think anybody from the class that's coming in with him. It's a very, very weak class. If you run down the names, it's pretty weak. And I think, you know, guys like that, and they're not going to get there. The guy that I think gets there, I think Curt Schilling gets in. You're looking at the numbers and the voting trajectory and how it moves up and whatnot. I think Curt Schilling might get in this position. But I think Jeter should go in by himself. I think it would be, you know, perfect, you know, for his career. He is, by most people's estimations, the most accomplished, I'm not saying the best, the most accomplished baseball player that we've ever seen. I mean, name another one with the wins and the numbers and the records and everything else. You could argue he's the greatest shortstop of all time. I mean, to get the 100%, which he should get, be the guy off the field that he is, be everything that he has with winning and everything. There are no knocks on Derek Jeter. There really aren't. So it's just something to think about. The good thing is this. I would have been sick to my stomach if Jeter went in the year that Bonds and Clemens went in. You know, wouldn't that just be sickening?
Right.
It doesn't look like Bonds and Clemens are getting in because their percentages barely moved this year.
Was Schilling tied to PEDs, though?
No, he never was.
No.
They don't like Schilling. Honestly, this is reality. They don't like Schilling because he's a very vocal conservative voice now. You know, got fired from ESPN for saying the things that he did. And you know, he's a fringe guy anyway. I mean, look, he's got the postseason accomplishments. I don't think I like Schilling. I actually like him, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. He was a guy. He's the Hall of very good that just really excelled during the playoffs and postseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a lot of stock in the playoffs and postseason. I do. But to me, Schilling's not a Hall of Famer. But then again, if you're putting guys like Mussina in, how can you put Mussina in and not Schilling? Now you start that slippery slope.
So ideally, you see Jeter, you'd like Jeter in by himself next year. Then in 2021, when the first-time eligibles isn't really very – I don't see one at all, actually, when I'm looking at the list. That's when you put the three guys that they don't want in there. Schilling, Clemens, and Bonds will go in that year.
I don't think Clemens and Bonds make it.
Hmm.
I think Schilling goes in. I'm telling you. Looking at the trajectory, I thought they were getting close. Tim, it has leveled off. And leveling off in a Hall of Fame ballot is bad. It's really bad. I don't think Bonds and Clemens get in.
350 wins for one of them and a all-time home run leader. People forget,
but,
right?
Wait a minute. But listen to this, and this is a good argument. I wish we had more time. This is a great argument, though, Tim. Fred McGriff, at the time that Barry Bonds began taking steroids, Fred McGriff had the same amount of career home runs as Barry Bonds.
Yes.
From that point forward, Barry Bonds went crazy, took steroids, went crazy. Fred McGriff put a needle in his arm, he'd be the all-time home run leader.
I think McGriff will get in veterans-wise eventually. If Bonds and Clemens don't make it, do they get voted in veterans-wise?
Yes.
Okay.
That's how they're going to get in. This is going to be a penance for them. You know, wait your 10 years, sweat it out. You'll eventually get in, but this is your punishment.
You're going to be
punished. By the way, did you see how Pete Rose is signing baseballs now?
Uh-uh.
4,000 hits, steroids, zero. So he's signing baseballs.
Well, you know, they always say gambling is worse than taking drugs, so.
Yeah.
Tom, talk about Sports Garden Network. Talk about TomBartonSports.com. It's going to be a crazy week, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Super Bowl week is going to be crazy. I got Gary Myers coming up on the show this week. Ryan Leaf will be on the show this week. Matt Baker's coming back on with me. I think I'm going to have Jay Paris again. A pretty big week talking about the Super Bowl. Ian O'Connell's going to come on, talk about the Belichick book. So lots to do over at Sports Garden, Garten. Go check it out online, Sports Garden, Garten. And TomBartonSports.com. Guys, I know everyone's looking for the Super Bowl. I get it. You're going to be able to get your Super Bowl plays, all my picks, everything. But right now in the NBA, there's nobody hotter. I am hitting over 80% the last 30 days, all documented, all verified. Over the last 60 days, it's near 75%. I am crushing the NBA right now at TomBartonSports.com.
Tom, have a great week. Looking forward to the Ryan Leaf interview. I'll talk to you about that a little bit more later. But Saturday night, big show over at Barrier Park Paris Hotel Casino.
All right. Have a good one, guys. See you next week.
Tommy Barton, TomBartonSports.com. Great show, by the way, over at Sports Garden Network. Make sure you check that out if you're out and about. That's 2 o'clock here on the Pacific Coast. For RE Platinum, for Mr. Tom Barton, I'm Tim Unglesby. We will talk to you Saturday live from the Beer Park at the Paris Hotel and Casino. It's Heatwave Sports. Have a good sports week, everybody.